Well, to some, he is an invader. To others, the first governor of New South Wales. To many of us, he's a name from our history books, which we really kind of remember, don't actually remember much about. But Arthur Phillip had a fascinating life. Tonight, that story will be told in a new documentary called Arthur Phillip, Governor, Sailor, Spy. And the ABC's Scott Bevan is presenting the program. He joins me now. Scott, welcome back to breakfast.
Morning, Fran.
Governor, sailor, spy. Not which of these, but all of these.
All of that and more. An extraordinary, adventurous, and by the standards of the day, a long life. So while we, most of us, know about the governor bit, he was in his late 40s. He was verging on 50 by the time he took up that role. So long before that, he'd done so much.
When you think of that, almost 50, when he took on the role of transport, you know, guiding the transport ships full of convicts over here to start a colony, lives weren't, you know, hugely long back then either. That's kind of getting old to be such an arduous task, isn't it?
An enormous challenge, extraordinary for a fellow on the cusp of 50 to agree to this, or at least to have Admiralty tap him on the shoulder and say, we want you to do this. Mm. You'd be thinking, well, I'm never coming home, one imagines. And when I stood at Portsmouth Harbour on the shores there where the First Fleet sailed from, and I looked out, I thought, my goodness, I can't even imagine what Phillip must have been thinking, the daunting challenge that lay ahead, and at the same time, the terror of those below decks
exactly.
at what they were going off to.
Yeah, those hell ships. We'll come to those in a moment, but let's talk about Arthur Phillip, governor, sailor, spy. When was he a spy? Who did he spy for?
He, in the service of his country, it was against the foe and the great fear of what France was up to. And he'd been for a while a gentleman farmer. He left the sea for a bit and he was farming in Hampshire for a few years. He got married. Both the marriage and the farming life came to an end. He slowly made his way back towards the sea, but it's believed he spent some time trying to pay back the estranged wife, but also while in France, he spied around the docks and ports, building up information as to what the French were up to with their naval build-up. He did this a couple of times. And he was also in the Portuguese Navy, something I knew nothing about, and he was in the service of the Portuguese.
How did he come to join the Portuguese Navy?
With the blessing, once again, of the British. It was advantageous to both in that the Portuguese needed experienced sailors to rebuild their navy. The British were happy to have a few of their own on the ships of their longtime ally. And this fellow was keen to take this position because he couldn't get a command of a ship in the Royal Navy. Going into the Portuguese Navy gave him the opportunity to get a captain's commission at long last.
And why couldn't... Sorry, you could go.
So off he went for the Portuguese to South America, and he also did some espionage work there, it's believed. Charts and maps of the South American coastline, observing the colonial settlements, anything that could help the British with military and commercial advantage, and of course help his own career down the track.
Yeah, which it did. I guess this brings us to why he was chosen for the voyage to bring the convicts to set up the colony in New South Wales. Let's hear a little bit from the program. Lawyer and academic Geoffrey Robertson, who's been campaigning to bring Arthur Phillip's remains back to Sydney.
Amongst all the absurdity, really, of taking these convicts 12,000 miles through uncharted oceans, he was a very cool, calm and collected man. He had fought under French fire. He had encountered all the seas that you could in the Atlantic. And I sense that he had that kind of inner calm that got him by.
Well, that's Geoffrey Robertson there admiring Arthur Phillip. But what was it that got him by? Because he didn't just get the convicts over there, 12,000 miles, ships loaded with human cargo, terrible, terrible thing. But he did it, in the terms of these things, very successfully with a very low loss of life.
He did. And it wasn't just the voyage. It's one thing to do the voyage.
That's quite a thing to do the voyage.
An extraordinary thing, never been done before. The preparation had been the six-week voyage across the Atlantic. This was what had been done before, transporting convicts to the American colonies. Of course, the Revolutionary Wars brought an end to that. So the British had to look far and wide and look to the other side of the globe, to New South Wales. This was an extraordinary venture, the voyage itself. But bear in mind, there was nothing at the destination. There was the scant recordings of banks. Yeah, this is a good place. Head here to Botany Bay. But there was no support, no infrastructure, no waiting officials, nothing. So to make the voyage was extraordinary enough. But to set up a colony with so many unknowns was even more extraordinary.
It's 22 past eight. Scott Bevan joins us. He's presenting a program which goes to where tonight, Arthur Phillip, Governor, Sailor, Spy. And Scott's not just presenting it. He did a lot of the research and the interviews for this program too. What kind of capacity or experience did he have for this in a formal education sense, or what kind of man was he, I suppose? Did he have a very broad vision for what he was about to do in a human sense?
Yeah, Fran, he had both. He did have a formal maritime education. It's believed his father was pressed into the Navy, and the biographer Michael Pembroke says...
I mean, for being a governor, I guess.
Yeah, but way back, even from the age of 12, when he went off to Greenwich to this formal education, learning mathematics and navigation, that set him up for a life at sea, and he certainly led an extraordinary life at sea. But as we were mentioning before, there are other things that fed into almost moving towards him being a governor, not that he saw it or anyone else. His time as a farmer, he learnt, it sowed the agricultural knowledge that would be reaped in New South Wales many years later when the colony was on the cusp of starvation, when they had to look for farming land. His time in the Portuguese Navy in South America, he saw slavery firsthand. He was appalled by this, the biographer Michael Pembroke points out. And this probably shaped the views of the future governor. Before he sailed for Botany Bay, for Sydney, when he was drafting what this place would be and wouldn't be, the first thing he said was, there will be no slavery in a free land. He was dead against slavery. So while he was transporting convicts, he did not want this to be a slave society. So the sum of his experiences, the sum of his ideals and beliefs at this, the end of the Enlightenment, the age of the Enlightenment, all came together in this one man, verging on 50, who had this enormous task.
And how did it prepare him to encounter the first Australians?
Well, he came with the official orders on one level, to that there was to be amity and good relations. But there was also his belief and his determination that there would be good relations, and he set about that. But as is pointed out in the documentary by quite a few people, including Indigenous leader Warren Mundine, for all the best of intentions, of course, from the moment the new arrivals got here, it all started upending the lives and traditions of the original inhabitants. And of course, Philip himself literally felt the pointy end of that rising tension and conflict. He was speared in 1790. Everyone thought he was going to die. He did recover, but he said there was to be no retribution for that. However, he was pushing through this thing that had to work, this social experiment to turn convicts' lives around that he believed in, for them to be emancipated, for them to have a new future by giving them land. The more land that was given, the more lives of British convicts that were turned around, the more pressure and more upheaval that imposed upon the original inhabitants.
It's a complex story, and what a job. Scott Bevan, Arthur Phillip, we'll be thankful for you, for your efforts, I think. Thank you so much for joining us, Scott.
Good on you, Fran. Thanks.
Scott Bevan and Arthur Phillip, Governor, Sailor, Spy, goes to air on the ABC tonight at 8:30.